If you will, please take your Bibles, and I want you to open up to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. But also this morning, go ahead and open up to 1 John 2, but also flip to John 5th and the passage here in just a little bit. 1 John 2 and John 15. John 15. You know, one of the greatest questions that we like to debate or to think about or try to answer and look through scriptures is, what will the last days look like? What is going to transpire? What's going to happen? We want to look at Revelation, and we always want to study it. And many of you are asking, when are we going to go through Revelation? Sometime. But as we look at all of this, that question remains, is what does the last days look like? In fact, even when Jesus was on the earth, they're sitting in the Mount of Olives. The disciples asked him, Jesus, what's it going to look like in the last days? What is going to be the events that bring us to that time when you take over and your reign begins? What is going to happen? Because see, we're all looking forward to that day when Jesus is King on this earth. And no more strife and no more struggles. What is it going to look like? In Matthew 24, the disciples asked him, it says, and he sat on the Mount of Olives. The disciples came to him privately saying, tell us when all these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? And Jesus answered them, see that no one leads you astray. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and they will lead many astray. He goes on to tell them later on there, he says, then they will deliver you up to tribulation and put you to death, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another, and many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. Because of lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. You know, for us, many times the thought of the last days can be exciting to think about Jesus returning, but it's also very challenging. Because we know that there is coming a judgment day. There's coming a day when the King shall return. And now here in John, we see John giving us a picture of these last days. He gives us a picture of what it's going to be like, but then we also see a challenge. A challenge. Here in 1 John chapter 2, begin with me in verse number 18. It says, children, remember his way of referring to the whole congregation, the whole group, his spiritual children. It is, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, so now many Antichrists have come. Therefore, we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that it might become plain that they are not of us. But you have been anointed by the Holy One, and you have all knowledge. I write to you not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie is of the truth. Who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, he who denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. Let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he made to us, eternal life. Here John gives us a picture and a challenge. He gives us a picture in this last hour, in this last day, of what he refers to as the Antichrists, plural. The Antichrists. And he gives us the picture of them coming on in the last days. And notice in verse 18, children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard, that Antichrist, singular, is coming. So now many Antichrists, plural, have come. You see, the structure of what he does here in verse 18 is a biblical structure known as a chiasm. You say, what in the world is that? A chiasm is where he takes a premise and builds it out and then comes back in and repeating the same aspects. So he has the first line, and then he has a further teaching, and then they might have another teaching, and then they'll repeat that one teaching, and then they'll come back out repeating it. So look at verse 18. He says, children, it is the last hour, as you've heard. The Antichrist is coming. So now many antichrists have come, therefore we know it is the last hour. He is building a thought, and the way that you can see the emphasis on a chiasm is you see what the mental premise is. What is he building to, and what is he coming out of? And as you look in this phrase, you see it's the last hour because you heard the antichrist is coming, therefore there are Christ's last hour. What is the emphasis? Many antichrists have come. This might not be a shock to you, but there is opposition in this world to Jesus Christ. And that is the antichrist. Here we see John is warning his children. He's giving them a picture. Many antichrists have come. You heard that there's this one, this Antichrist, and we all want to speculate. Who is the Antichrist? Who is it going to be? Who is going to reveal himself? Because we know this figure that is so opposed to God, that is so opposed to who he is, that's going to set himself up there in the temple, that is going to cause people to worship him. Who is this Antichrist? John says, you've heard that he's coming, but I tell you that already now, there are many antichrists. There is opposition in the world now. And as we see this, he begins to build this picture of the antichrist. Remember that John was writing this letter because there were many already beginning to spread false teachings about Jesus Christ. There were many that were teaching that Jesus was not completely human and God at the same time. That he was born a human being, and then there at his baptism, the Spirit descended upon him and he became the Son of God then. And then there at his crucifixion, the Spirit left him and he became a mortal man again. That is heresy. And John was combating these men that were teaching these different things about Jesus, and they were trying to figure out how to combat these things. John is giving them a warning about these ones that are opposed to who Jesus Christ is. He's giving them the picture. Notice about the Antichrist what he says in verse 19. What do these ones opposed say and do? In verse 19 it says, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that it might become plain they are not of us. What about these antichrists? What about these ones that are opposed to Jesus Christ? He says, you know what? They were with us, but then they left. They got away from us. They separated themselves from us, so that they might propagate this different teaching about Jesus. That they might propagate their ideas. They were a part of us, but then they separated. They removed themselves from it. They separated themselves from the church. He says, who is the liar? And it's a very definite article there. Who is the liar? The one, and referring kind of to that antichrist, that spirit. He says, who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? Who is this one? It's the one that denies who Jesus is. This is the Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. And there you see the tie. You see, the Antichrist is not just one that just changes this teaching about Jesus. You see, the problem with it is when you change the teaching about Jesus, you are changing the teaching about the Father, because the Father and the Son are one. And he is saying, and he is showing the difference here, that they are denying that Jesus is the Christ. Christ meaning the anointed one, the set apart one, the Messiah. They are denying that Jesus was that picture, that Messiah, that one that was slain for us. They deny that He was an anointed one. They deny that He was equal with the Father. In verse 23, He says, "No one who denies the Son has the Father." And it's what we read there in Matthew chapter 11 earlier this morning. You cannot have the Father except through the Son. You cannot have the Son without the Father. Why? Because in John 10:31, Jesus says, "I and my Father are one." The Antichrist are denying that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah. What we see here are counterfeits. They're propagating their teaching about Jesus. They're propagating what they desire and what they are trying to rationalize and seek. But they are missing who Jesus is. And this today is subtly infiltrating our churches as well. Because we are seeing churches that are more concerned about being therapeutic than about being theocentric and God-oriented. More concerned about simple things and relating to a world instead of preaching Jesus Christ. Now, I tell you, as a preacher, I read different articles throughout the week, and there's been a group of articles that has gotten into my crawl. And it's all these different articles that are out there about why people are leaving the church and why people are doing these different things. And I read these articles, and there's some things that I think we can learn from. But you know, the more that you read it and the more the different veins that you see, you are all seeing people that are missing what the church is all about to begin with. And it's about Jesus Christ. Separating from it. Why are they coming out from the church? Why are they moving away? Because the church is to be about the person and the work of Jesus Christ. And because of that, these antichrists are separating themselves. They are denying that Jesus is the Christ. We will lose all power this morning if we try to preach a message other than the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's why people leave. Because they come to get their therapeutic self-help message. And you know what? After a while, you've heard it all. It's all the same thing over and over again. You know what John's saying? They're departing because they're denying the power of Jesus Christ. Of who He is. He is our power. He is our message. They were counterfeit. You know what? Counterfeits always look good, don't they? They always look good. They always look perfect. In fact, you know what? Sometimes I've even tried to get a counterfeit purse to my wife instead of the real thing. Because I said it looks good and I didn't know any better. I quickly found out, though, that she knows the difference between the knockoffs and the real brands, all right? But you know what? Counterfeits, they might look good, but they're always dangerous. A counterfeit money, it might look good and you might think it might be nice and easy just to slip it by, but it's dangerous. You know what? A counterfeit message of Jesus, it might look pretty. It might sound postmodern enough to reach this world. You might think yourself as being relevant, but it's dangerous because it's taking it away from the power source. The Antichrist were preaching a different message and they were leading others astray. This is why John is warning about them. And John was good about this warning. I asked you to open to John 15. Flip over there to John 15. And I want you just to listen to some of the similar language in John's gospel that we see from the teaching of Jesus Himself. John 15 and verse 18, it says, "If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours. But all these things they will do to you on account of my name, because they don't know him who sent me. If I had not forgiven sin, but now they have no excuse for their sin. Whoever hates me, hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works that no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have seen and hated both me and my Father. But the word that is written in their law must be fulfilled. They hated me without a cause. What is Jesus telling us? He says, you can expect the opposition. You can expect the Antichrist because they're not opposing to you. They're opposing me. They don't have an argument against you. They have an argument against me. Because the light of the world came and split darkness wide open. And they, men, are lovers of darkness more than light. I have exposed this, and now they hate me because I've exposed this. They hate me because I've all of a sudden made them accountable to a God. They hate me because they think that I am judgmental. Have we heard that word before? I don't like those Christians. They're too judgmental. Understand, when people are saying that, it's not you that they're calling judgmental. It's Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ has been the standard and the one that we were bringing people to. We have no ability to judge people in that regard. We do not have a way of being able to condemn or accept people because we are in the same position. We're all sinners. We need a Savior in Jesus Christ. He is the one that splits the line. He's the one where it says you either have a relationship with Him or you don't. There is a way to heaven through Jesus Christ, or there is a way of being dead in your trespasses and sins this morning. And when people are opposed to that message, they can be opposed all they want, but it's not going to change the fact of what Jesus Christ did for us. And here John is giving this warning about these antichrists that's in the same vein that Jesus is saying, hey, the world's going to hate you, the world's going to oppose you. Because of me. So we can be happy this morning. I can see the smiles right now. We can be happy because we have opposition. Because it's not us that they're opposing. It's Jesus Christ. And I have a feeling that I know who wins this battle. In Jesus Christ. John is giving this picture of these antichrists. These ones that deny who Jesus is. They deny that He is from the Father. They deny His deity. Years, as some of you might remember quite well, the People's Temple and Jim Jones. Back in the late 70s, someone that came out of a church and began preaching his own gospel and his own message. And he was affixed kind of in some communistic ideas. And he created a compound. He moved his church from Indiana to California. And he built this church and his people to follow his teachings, his ideas. He ends up moving this group of people from California to Guyana. And there in Guyana, he had preached so well and changed so many thoughts that they all committed suicide together. The People's Temple. Do you know that this is even going on even still today? You can look up throughout, if you do a simple Google search of man who thinks he is Jesus Christ. It's amazing how many different articles you're going to pop up and how many different people. There's one in Brazil. There's one in Miami. There's this one in Australia. Alan John Miller, A.J. Miller, who thinks that he is the reincarnate Jesus Christ. It took him a while to realize it, though. It took him some time, even after a failed marriage. He finally realized that I am the incarnate Jesus. And oh, this now lady that I'm with, my girlfriend and now my wife, oh, she's the reincarnate Mary Magdalene too. And when I died, she was pregnant with our little girl. You know what? This is amazing, but he is building followers. He has a website called Divine Truth. It is divine heresy. And as you look at this, this is going on throughout our world. And some of the things aren't as bright and noticeable, but there's some ways that people just kind of creep in a different message into the church. That's why we preach and teach the Word of God. Because this morning we opened up and continued our study in 1 John, and here it is showing us the word, the message from God of who He is and who is our power. John gives us the picture of the Antichrist. But in this picture, then, we see a challenge. We see a challenge on how to expose the Antichrist. Because you see, the hour of Antichrist is exposed. The hour of the Antichrist is countered by applying the truth of Jesus Christ. I want you to notice with me three things that we need to do this morning to counter this opposition about who Jesus is. Number one, we need to remain in the fellowship. Remain in the fellowship. Remember here in verse 19, what 19 it says, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if, and here's the key phrase, for if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. Remain in the fellowship. The Antichrist, they went out. There was a different message, so they removed themselves to seek a different message. And notice what John gives there. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. This word here for continued, it's actually the word that means abide. This is a word that John is going to use a lot, abide. We've already seen him use it a lot, abide. But here, in the tense in which he uses it, it's a little used tense throughout the New Testament. It's called the pluperfect, a big word that just basically means that there is a continuing result that's happening. He's saying that they would have abided with us, and the force is that they would be continuing on with us, that they would have stuck with us, that they would have stuck with the fellowship, that they would have stuck with the apostles' teaching, the apostles' doctrine, they would have stuck with the word of God if they had been of us. We want to combat the opposition. If we want to be strong in the fight against those that are trying to proclaim a different Jesus, you know what? Remain in the fellowship. Remain in the institution that God has given to us to promote truth and to evangelize the world for Him. That is why it is so important for us to cherish and to build up this fellowship of believers. Because it's an opportunity for us to keep ourselves insulated and strong against the opposition. The fellowship is the institution built by Christ. What did He tell us in Matthew 16:18? That He told us that I will build my church, and not even the gates of hell shall prevail against it. I want to tell you, these people that think that they can have a relationship with God but not love the church don't know what Jesus Christ said about the church. Because He died for it. And He has given us this institution. If we don't care about the church, if we don't care about the fellowship, we're telling Jesus, you know what, I know You died for it. I know You set up this institution for me, but I can do it by myself. We're setting ourselves up for failure. He says, you know what? If they were of us, they would have continued with us. If we're going to fight the fight and be strong against the opposition, we need a fellowship of believers to help us along the way. About the church and really discipling Him, He says in 1 Timothy 3:14-15, He says, I hope to come to you soon. But I'm writing these things to you so that if I delay, you might know how you ought to behave yourself in the household of God. And notice what He says about this household. He says, which is the church of the living God, a pillar and buttress of truth. You see, here in the fellowship, we have the opportunity to work and disciple and grow in our understanding of the Word of God and our understanding of who God is. And it's a fellowship that keeps us accountable to the person and the work of Jesus Christ. The church was not meant to be just a social club, because He gave us a great commission. We are a group unlike any other. Is the amount of great things that a Rotary Club does, is the amount of great things that many NGOs out there are doing. We are not those. We are a fellowship of believers that have a message to grow in and to tell and share with somebody else. And that's Jesus Christ. The fellowship of the saints is important. We need to remain in the fellowship. The second thing that John pictures for us is that we need to remain spirit controlled. Remain spirit controlled. Look down at verse 20. He says, "But you have been anointed by the Holy One, and you have all knowledge. I write to you not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie is of the truth." You know what he is telling these people? He says, "I am writing to you not because you don't know the truth, but because you do." Why? Because of the anointing of the Holy One. Now, what's really interesting, and it's hard for us to see it here in our English, but John is using a play on words here. This anointing, he says there in verse 20, but you have been anointed. In the Greek, it's the Greek word of charisma. And it's the same idea, the same word that we see in Christ. The same root meaning in Christo. And it's the same root that's in the term Antichrist. He's using this play on words on anointing to go back and forth and show these people, these ones that are anti the anointed one, are not accepting of the anointed one of Jesus Christ. They're denying who he is, but you are a part of the anointed, that have this anointing from the anointed one. He's giving this perfect delineation between here, that if we have that anointing, that Holy Spirit placed upon us for our knowledge, for our teaching, we have the truth before us. And there's a difference. He's saying, remain spirit controlled. He says, "I write to you, not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it." He's trying to encourage them. You have the truth. You have this anointing. You have the Holy Spirit in your life. Now, how many of us are using the Holy Spirit in our life the way we should? How many of us are being sensitive to the Holy Spirit's calling upon our life? I tell you that there's many days that I have to struggle and to fight to get rid of the distractions so that I might be able to hear what God's trying to tell me. Has it happened to you? You know, and that still small voice is trying to speak to us, but I let my passions get in the way. Or when the Lord's trying to move us in his word and show us his truths, and yet I'm too busy because I got to make this phone call. I got to go do this over here. I got to go run this errand. I got to go do this. And I miss the time in the word of God to be taught through the Spirit. John is saying, you have this anointing. You have this Holy Spirit that was given to you through the Holy One, through Jesus Christ. You know, back in John 15, when Jesus had given all that teaching about, because verses after that passage, it says this: "But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. And you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning." Who is this anointing? Where is this knowledge coming from? Coming from the work of the Holy Spirit upon us. And that Holy Spirit that is in us, that we have the opportunity to listen to. It's the one that Paul encouraged in Ephesians 5:18. He says, "Do not be drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled, be controlled by the Spirit." You know what? We have the Holy Spirit as a body of believers. We've been promised this us in 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. "What, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God? You are not your own, for you've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and spirit, which are his." We have the Spirit. Let's not shut him out. Let's be fine-tuned to remain controlled by the Spirit, not allowing the distractions of this world to remove the teaching that he's showing us. Making those times. We need to be sensitive to the voice of the Spirit. And then thirdly, we see that John is telling us to remain in the Word. Look down at verse number 24. Remain in the Word. He says, "Let what you have heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you have heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father." Let what you've heard from the beginning abide in you. Let it stick with you. Understand that the New Testament is being written. John is writing right here, a part of the New Testament. So the New Testament is being written at this time. So what is he saying? He says, let that which you've heard, that which you have been taught from the beginning. This is a phrase that we've seen all throughout 1 John. From the beginning, from the beginning, from the beginning. What is he referring to? From that beginning with Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. That which we have seen and heard from the beginning, we declare it unto you in 1 John 1:1. This idea of from the beginning is referring to Jesus Christ. He's saying that which you have heard from the beginning, let it dwell in you. That teaching that you were taught from the apostles, that some of you saw personally with Jesus Christ, that which you know to be true of Jesus Christ, let it dwell in you. When a new teaching about Jesus Christ comes out, folks, we need to run to the Scripture to see if it's the same thing. When someone wants to come out and says, you know what, I'm going to create a true church unto the Scripture to make sure it's that which is from the beginning. That we have this test of the Word of God that we're able to look at, to see, and allow it to dwell in us. They have that Word passed down, and he is saying, let it dwell in you, abide in you. This Word is the same idea we see in James 1:21. Where James encourages, therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted Word, which is able to save your souls. That Word that's engrafted into us, that is, it just becomes one with us because we're dwelling in it. If we want to be able to stand strong against the opposition, we need to remain in the Word. Because here's the truth. Here's the truth. You know what's so exciting about being around this fellowship is listening to the discussions about the Word of God. To listen to the people bring up different things. And you know what? I've been reading this past week. And what do you think about this? Or I've been studying this. What do you think about this? Or, hey, in our Sunday school class, we were talking about this. What do you think about this? And we are all centered and focused around what the Word of God is doing in our hearts and lives. John says, you know what? The Antichrist are here. The hour is here. They are coming. They have opposed Christ. They're denying who he is. And if you want to remain strong, let what you've heard from the beginning abide in you. Let the Word of God become a part of you. Let it be the implanted Word. So that when time fails and then you don't have everything around you, you have that Word pressed upon your heart, implanted in your life to give you that strength. Remain in the Word of God. You know what's amazing as you look at this? How he gives us these different things to combat the opposition of these antichrists. You know what? What are they? They're the church. Remain in the fellowship. If they were with us, they would have continued with us. The church. He says, but you have the anointing from the Holy One. You have the Holy Spirit. And then he says, let that which you heard abide in you. You know what? You have the Word of God. Three things. Three resources that God has given to us so that we might grow in him. The Bible, the Spirit, and the church. These three resources that God has given to us so that we might get to know who he is, that we might see who this Jesus is, where we can see in Isaiah chapter 7 where that he was going to be born of a virgin conceived by God, that we see that he is the one that came, the completely man, completely divine. As we have three resources that he's given us through the church, the Spirit, and the Word of God to grow up and to know him. It's amazing, and it's almost like he had a plan. And that's how we can expose those antichrists. You know what? Opposition is here. But we don't have to cower because we know who Jesus is. The hour the antichrist is exposed, it's countered by those who apply the truth of Jesus Christ. You see, folks, this morning, we can't take an easy road about who Jesus is. It's either he's the Son of God or he's something else. And the something else can't save you. The Son of God has. He's come. He's died. He's given his precious blood for you to save you. And we cannot take an easy road. I tell you, when the truth of who Jesus is hits us, it does something to us. It should change us. It should bring about a different perspective. And yet, all the articles are writing about how people are giving up on the church. Maybe we need to get back to the church as being all about Jesus Christ. Church is being about propagating the love of Jesus Christ, the transforming message of Jesus Christ, of preaching the word of Jesus Christ. And let the people that want to separate from that, separate from that. But we have a message to tell. Not worried about making ourselves relevant in these different things. You know what? Jesus Christ is relevant each day of our life. And we have that message to tell. That we were all once lost and condemned and on our way to hell apart from Him. But there came the Son of God who hung on an old rugged cross that we might be redeemed. That message is relevant whenever you want to tell it. Jesus Christ is the one that as we apply that truth of Jesus Christ, it will expose and counter the Antichrist. You know what's amazing? As you look at this text, I just want to point this out. Look there at verse 18. Notice how he starts again. Children, it's the last hour. And as Christ have come, therefore we know it's the last hour. He tells us it's the last hour. Opposition's here. Now go down to verse 25. And this is the promise that he made to us. Eternal life. You know what? When we think the opposition's strong, when we think it looks gloomy, we can rest in verse 25. And this is the promise he gave to us, eternal life. You know what? That eternal life, it doesn't begin when we pass from this earth. That eternal life starts when we come to know Jesus Christ as our Savior. And that eternal life isn't just about a quantity. It's just not about how many years and eons that we're going to live from now until forever. There's a quality to it too. That as knowing Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, we have a hope in the midst of opposition. Why? Because He's given us eternal life. He did what nobody else could do for us. And we have a hope in the midst of the hour of Antichrists because of who Jesus Christ is. If we want to stand strong, if we want to go forward this morning, it's not about changing who we are, changing our message so it would fit all these different lives and doing these neat little things. And Lord help us if I have to wear skinny jeans, because that is just not going to happen. For your sake and mine. No, we need to preach Jesus. The author, the finisher of our faith. Because no matter the opposition that's around us, this is the promise we have. A quantity and quality of life through the Son of God. Shall we stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning? And as we think about the word and think about this warning, this picture and challenge that John gives us about these antichrists, I just want to ask you this morning, who is Jesus to you? I hope and pray this morning that as you're here in worship, that you're here for Jesus Christ. I hope and pray that you're here to know Him better, that you're here to grow in Him more, that you're here to show in a word. Who is He to you? You see, that was the separation point between the Antichrist and these churches. is what they did with Jesus Christ. The ones that denied that He was from the Father. The ones that denied His deity. That denied that He was the Christ. They separated themselves. This morning, who is Jesus to you? Is He worthy of your worship? Is He worthy of your time? Is He worthy of your words to share Him with somebody else? Who is Jesus to us this morning? In just a moment, we're going to pray. We're going to sing our invitation song, but I ask this morning that you let that question sink in, that you let these verses change us today. That if you need to know that promise of eternal life, I'll be standing down front. I'd love to show you what Jesus Christ has done for you, that you might know that you have eternal life today. And if you need a home, a fellowship to be a part in, to know and grow and show the Lord Jesus Christ, we're here and we'd love to have you join with us. And if you know Jesus Christ this morning, I pray that He's just more than just a club to you, but that He's your Lord and Savior, worthy of worship, worthy of all you have to offer. Our dear Father, Lord, as we come this morning, I pray that You'd work in this time of invitation. Let Your Spirit move, and God, I pray that we would make Jesus Christ famous. God, I pray that You would do only what You can right now. For it's in Your name we pray.